So, Farai, last month when Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, gave Barack Obama a gift, it made headlines all over the world.
I think it was a nice gesture to give me a book. I'm a reader.
But it wasn't just diplomatic headlines. It was cultural as well. We have a bookish president. We know that he's a reader. But Barack Obama is also a character striding through a narrative arc of African-American culture, male culture, and literary culture. Suddenly, characters like this aren't so funny anymore.
Hi, Eddie.
Urkel, thank goodness you're here. I'm flunking algebra and I need you to tutor me.
Well, this is my busy season. I'm trying to teach the football team fractions.
Steve, I'm desperate. If you don't help me, I can't go to the Prince concert. Check out these seats.
Third row! Wow, you could get sweated on!
Does Obama trump Urkel, Steve Urkel, the character in Family Matters who teaches the football team fractions? Suddenly, that's a virtuous mission. And here to talk about it and Barack Obama's impact on all of these characters, it's an interesting, nuanced story. And we're thrilled to have Takeaway contributor Patrick Henry Bass here. Patrick, this is a fascinating story that you turned us on to. What's going on? Does Barack Obama destroy Urkel?
Well, who can beat Urkel? I don't think anyone can. But in the 15 years I've covered publishing, I've never seen three titles by African-American male authors, smart authors, you know, coming down the pipeline. We have, first of all, Colson Whitehead's Sag Harbor, which is already getting great buzz. Then we have Victor LaValle's Big Machine, and that's going to be followed by David Anthony Durham's book, The Other Lands, which is almost like for fans of Dungeons and Dragons. And so the fact that you have these three smart African-American authors who have been marginalized in many ways because they didn't have, you know, large fans. You know, Colson Whitehead was largely supported by the literati. Victor LaValle, very, very small audience. David Anthony Durham tried historical fiction. Then he started doing the Acacia series. Not big audiences. And now we have the opportunity to have a serious conversation about African-American authors who are defying categorization in terms of their writing.
How is this different from, say, Bill Clinton being a fan of Walter Mosley, who is a mystery author, of course, and suddenly his sales spiked back in the 90s?
Well, it was the fact that Bill Clinton liked Walter Mosley, but that was about it. That's all he really talked about in terms of writing and reading. With Barack Obama, we get the sense that this is someone who takes reading very seriously. He wants to open up dialogues at the White House to invite writers and thinkers to come to the White House, spoken word poets. This has been a part of who he's been all his life. So it was almost with Bill Clinton, I saw that as political to say that I like an African-American Jewish mystery writer. I saw it as political. I think that that's sort of natural when it comes to Barack Obama.
You know, one thing that strikes me batting for the girls team is that there's also a bunch of female writers who are reshaping blackness, like Stacey Ann Chin, who has, you know, she's one of the deaf poets and who has a memoir of being, you know, Afro-Chinese, Jamaican, and a lesbian. So, you know, and an intellectual. And so it strikes me that, you know, the intellectualism is really something, you know, there's all these critiques of black culture that we're anti-intellectual. Do you think we're getting over it?
Well, I hear you about Stacey Ann Chin. The challenge is that we only will have one African-American male smart writer. We had Trey Ellis with Platitudes, you know. Then there were many years that passed by. Then we had John Ridley with his noir series. Then we had Matt Johnson with Drop. We have Paul Beatty with the White Boy Shuffle. So it's almost as if these guys are aliens. They're not. I mean, they exist among us. I think, you know, I know these guys. You know, I know guys right. like them. In many ways, I have my inner nerd.
Well, we should say that all these titles and all these authors are going to be on our website. So if you want to go and sort of check out what Patrick is talking about here and some of these authors. Here's Colson Whitehead in a New York Times podcast discussing his own black experience. I have a question. Listen to this and let's get a reaction.
We were black kids with beach houses, and we didn't understand that the world would find us strange, and so we had to figure out our own sort of path. My grandparents' generation were serious strivers and sort of inventing the black middle class. My mother and her generation inherit that and try to take it further. And my generation, growing up in the post-civil rights movement, we're sort of trying to find our own sort of identity.
Is this an intellectual emergence or a class emergence of a privileged black middle class?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, Colson Whitehead writes about, you know, the African-American elite and Sag Harbor, but he's clearly a misfit. Benji, the character, is a 15-year-old who loves ABBA. You know, I mean, he's just not a cool kid. And what I love about the narrative, the narrative in Sag Harbor is, for once, the black guy wins. The smart black guy wins. The smart black guy has always been sort of an oddity. In those John Hughes movies, we never saw him. In Pretty in Pink, he never existed. You know, that kid was always sort of, you know, just sidelined. He was just an extra in those movies. Now they're taking center stage. I think in large part we can have a serious conversation about this type of literature because of the presence of Barack Obama.
Well,
for the 21 months that he campaigned, we saw the skinny kid with the big ears and the funny name that America had to embrace. Urkel was just a character on a sitcom, 30 minutes on Friday nights. Barack Obama is a presence every day of our lives.
Wither Boys in the Hood, then. I mean, there's strong
African. It's a film. It's different from literature. It's a film.
Well, one of the things that also strikes me is that there is a moment in time right now where black audiences and white audiences and, you know, non-black, non-white audiences are merging sometimes. But do you think black folks are really reading Whitehead's novel?
Well, that's what I think is a great opportunity with the presence of Barack Obama. I think that Sag Harbor is now going to appeal to African-American audiences that may have resisted books that Colson Whitehead did, like John Henry Days and Apex Hides the Hurt in his first book, The Intuitionist, about an elevator inspector. I think that Victor LaValle's Big Machine, which is about cults and, you know, it's almost Saul Bellow-esque, I think that he's also going to appeal to African-American readers who may have resisted some of his earlier work.
What's one book for our listeners to be introduced to exactly what you're talking about?
I think
here?
Platitudes by Trey Ellis.
By Trey Ellis.
Absolutely.
Our takeaway contributor, Patrick Henry Bass, here talking about the phenomenon of Barack Obama in letters and particularly African-American authors, male African-American authors.